Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and on the city's cultural front comes news this week that two big museums are getting bigger in real estate shuffles with two smaller museums. The Museum of Modern Art purchased the museum next door, the Museum of Folk Art, their building, while the Metropolitan Museum will be expanding and moving into the Whitney's Madison Avenue space. That's right, the Whitney will no longer be where it is. So I am joined by New York Times cultural reporter Robin Pogrebin to find out what's behind these changes and what they mean for the city's cultural landscape. Hey, Robin, welcome back to the show.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
These are some pretty significant changes of venue in 1 week, eh?
They are. It's a big week for the cultural world in New York. I think that what it says most of all is that we're really seeing a retraction from these kind of building boom we were in when everybody was kind of building new wings and expanding and using fancy architects to really kind of having to kind of face reality and realize how are they going to sustain these spaces going forward when things have really contracted. And it's difficult to kind of keep going forward, particularly after you've built these ambitious plans. It's hard to sustain them.
There's one of these changes that's really a loss, and that is for the Folk Art Museum. But I want to start with the Met, I guess acquiring the space that the Whitney is in right now, while the Whitney is building larger space in the meatpacking district. No longer the Whitney at Madison and 75th?
Right. I mean, I think that's really the most radical aspect of this. And, you know, certainly there's this potential upside where the Whitney will have this kind of new re-energized identity downtown. It will have a larger space and be able to accommodate its collections more so than it can now. It really can only show so much of what it has. And it may, in fact, draw a younger, new population of museum goers. On the other hand, the risk is you're going to lose your core constituency, the people who have been comfortable coming to the Whitney for years on the Upper East Side. It's an institution. The building is an icon, whether people like it or not, aesthetically. It's a Marcel Breuer building and sort of a brutalist design, and it's always been strongly identified with the Whitney, and now it no longer will be. So there's a real, you know, potential cost, and it, you know, it just remains to be seen how it all bears out.
My guess is it could work out for the Whitney. You had to have a much more informed opinion than I would. What do you think? I mean, considering that the Whitney tries to be a little bit edgy, maybe moving downtown is really good for its future growth, while, you know, the museum-going population on the Upper East Side is aging out.
I think it's possible, and definitely, you know, what's nice is it gives the Met this kind of a little more sort of hip space for its contemporary work, and the Met always kind of takes the hit that that's its weakest link. So it allows the Met to kind of focus on that in a new space and kind of add to its more kind of stuffy, staid, established identity.
And that is going to be, and I want to make sure people understand that, this is going to be used as a space for expansion of the Met's modern presence, correct?
Yeah.
And is that, does that mean the modern era, or does that mean contemporary art?
It's contemporary art. I mean, I think every museum defines it differently. But, you know, definitely, you know, the Met is known for sort of its classics, and this would be sort of some modern going forward.
And I gather that,
and it's only just a few blocks from the Met, so it really makes sense for them.
Yeah, and I gather that the Whitney actually didn't want to have to move. They wanted to build in addition in the meatpacking district, but finances precluded that?
Yes, and I think that's the important point. They just realized they could not sustain both. And I think that was slowing the project going forward was kind of, they kept coming up against that. You know, they wanted to do this downtown exciting new space, and they really were reluctant to give up their home. They realized they just couldn't do both. And this, in a way, is sort of a nice middle ground because it's not permanent. It's basically kind of an eight-year deal that can be renewed. The Whitney still seems to benefit from some of the exhibitions there, and they're working with a partner that's kind of clearly in sync with them and prestigious. There's definitely a bittersweet quality to it no longer being the Whitney's entirely, but for all we know, you know, it's just a matter of evolution in this cultural city, and it all may be for the best. People may very well go downtown. The High Line is there, and that's been a huge boon and definitely given the Whitney some kind of security because that's become such an explosive area due to development around the High Line. And there are, you know, galleries just a few blocks away. So it is becoming an art center, and it could, you know, very well work for the Whitney.
Robin Pogrebin, New York Times cultural reporter, talking about the four Manhattan museums and real estate moves this week. So explain the other one. Is MoMA kind of acquiring part of the museum next door, the Folk Art Museum?
MoMA's actually buying the building. I mean, the Folk Art Museum seems to really have gotten itself into a major hole. It took on $32 million of debt to construct this 53rd Street building just as recently as 2001, designed by Todd Williams and Billy Shen architects. And, you know, that's a perfect example of that building was built in this kind of frenzy of what we call the Bilbao effect, where everybody wanted the kind of museum that the Guggenheim built in Bilbao, designed by Frank Gehry, where suddenly that became a destination. And it was clear that look what a museum, a cultural institution, can do. It can draw visitors. It can generate economic activity. So everybody wanted one, and that's what was happening prior to 2008 when everything went through into the hole. And so since then, we've seen so much pulling back and people finding, you know, that they have to think differently about finding new space. You have some museums who have sold off parts of their collections to cover operating expenses, which has been hugely controversial. You have City Ballet negotiating with its dancers to try to get concessions because they're facing a $6 million deficit. You have the South Street Seaport Museum that has the chairman of the board loaning the institution operating money to kind of pay salaries. And we're in tough times still, even though things are looking up. And museums need to think creatively about how to manage.
So the Folk Art Center is going back to its smaller space across from Lincoln Center?
Right. It will keep that. And that's a lot less square footage. And so it seems like they're going to be able to manage to continue that. And the question is sort of how it gets to this point where you actually have to give up your flagship. And that seems a really unfortunate development.
Is there enough oversight? Is there a cultural loss in that move? A lot of people who know about the MoMA, the Whitney, and the Met have probably never visited the Folk Art Museum.
We always kind of have these tiers of museums in New York, and, you know, definitely some are less attended than others. But I think there are definitely those who, you know, the Folk Art Museum has its loyalists. I think there are probably museums that now have some of that material more so than perhaps in the past, so it's not like it's the only outlet in which to see some of their material. But definitely, you know, the loss of an institution is a loss overall for the city, and I think an unfortunate one.
We've talked about deaccessioning on this program, or selling artworks in bad financial times, very controversial at some museums. Is that likely to come up now for the Folk Art Museum?
I think, you know, it's really a last resort. It's the cardinal sin of the museum world. And the National Academy Museum, which is on Fifth Avenue, recently had a very public sort of drubbing by the Association of Museum Directors, which sanctioned the museum after it sold Hudson River paintings to pay its bills. And they really have a code by which you can sell art to acquire additional art. You cannot sell art, you know, to pay the heating bills and your security guard salaries. So I think that museums are going to avoid that at all costs, although you do see throughout the state smaller institutions feeling like they have no choice, that, you know, they basically, in order to keep going, it's a matter of survival, they sometimes have to look to their assets. I would think that the Folk Art Museum would really try to avoid that. I mean, clearly they have by doing this and giving up a space, a very major real estate.
And do you think there's a cautionary tale for the Whitney in the Guggenheim's experience, trying to enhance their contemporary cred by opening in Soho in the past, which maybe didn't work out that well?
I think there's a cautionary tale definitely in this kind of zest for expansion. I mean, you saw the Guggenheim kind of become a franchise all over the world. I'm not sure that the Soho example is comparable because I don't think that the Guggenheim invested as much in it as the Whitney is in this downtown space. But you definitely have this kind of old guard, new guard kind of clash coming up where, I mean, the Whitney, this hasn't been an easy path to this decision. You had Leonard Lauder, its kind of greatest benefactor, kind of refusing to give a gift if the Whitney left its home at the Breuer Building, and somehow he's come around and made peace with this arrangement. But I think you really do see that these are not easy decisions, particularly when these are major institutions and tourists depend on them, and you kind of want them to thrive and survive.
And we have to leave it there. Cultural reporter Robin Pogrebin for The New York Times. Interesting week in the museum world. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC.